For Bodine Riley Smith, time feels like a luxury. Originally from Dubbo, the Wiradjuri and Gamilaroi dancer attended both the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts, also known as WAPA, and Naysda Dance College. And when he joined Bangarra Dance Theatre in 2013, his skills as a dancer, as an actor, and as a choreographer continued to grow. Through it all, Bo, like so many artists, has been restricted to a creative cycle that includes short developments and tight turnarounds. But all that is changing now, because Bo has been awarded the inaugural Sean Parker & Company Choreographic Fellowship. It provides $300,000 to a leading choreographer, who'll use the funds to choreograph a major new work over the next 3 years. Bo's work will then be brought to life by 9 dancers from Sean Parker & Company in a world premiere performance. So Bo joined me in the Away studio to talk about this rare opportunity and what initially led him to dance.
My whole goal, I don't know why I really wanted to be like a zoologist or something, but I just wasn't getting the grades in when I was doing year 11 and 12. And my careers teacher told me to go to WAPA because I was like, oh, maybe I want to do theatre or like, you know, or something. And there was that course and you didn't need to have any experience. I didn't do acting. I didn't do dance in high school. And so I auditioned there. And I actually lived with dancers that were in their first year. And so I was surrounded by it, and I really loved that art form. And while I was at WAPA, the whole goal was to get into the bachelor course at WAPA or go to NIDA. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be this actor. And my acting teacher, Rick Brayford, told me to also audition for NASDA. First time I've heard of the school. So I went and I did the week-long audition. I auditioned with a monologue. It's the Jeff Kennett monologue from Who's Afraid of the Working Class. And I got into NASDA. And to be honest, it was just quite spontaneous. And I just kind of fell in love with dance. And the dream of being an actor was now not there. So, yeah, it was just, I don't know, I felt like I found my calling.
I guess for a lot of people, the work that you are best known for is Bennelong, where you played that character of Bennelong in Bangarra. It was kind of a marrying of these two elements of your artistic practice in that it was a really theatrical dance performance. How has that experience shaped the way that you think about
dance in general?
Yeah.
Like I think I've always had or used those tools that I learnt from Rick Brayford at WAPA. I just put that into my dance practice as well. I haven't really analysed it myself, but it's just something instinctually that I just do. I rely on the emotional thought before the movement comes. And I've just always been like that. And I've always been in those roles throughout my Bangarra career. I used to like say, can I please be the pretty dancers that have no emotional weight, please, this year? But that's the type of storytelling that I love. You know, it has to come from a human response. And that could also be because I find we both were taught by Vicky, and there's something about Vicky's practice, Vicky Van Hoon, who's an incredible dancer, choreographer, creator, quite a visionary, and there's something quite human. Everything comes from a human response as well, or a physical human response. So coming from WAPA and then having her as my contemporary teacher for 3 years, I felt like how I thought and the movement kind of married each other. Yeah, it was a really, really, for me as an artist, quite a beautiful marriage.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I have you here on Away now is because you're the inaugural recipient of the Sean Parker & Company Fellowship. Can you tell me about the moment you found out?
This is going to sound really bad. I was just so happy that Sean wanted to give me this opportunity. You know, he saw a work that I created on Sydney Dance Company with, it was called Gubba, and it was about the frontier wars. He saw that work, he was obsessed with it, and he wanted to give me this opportunity. And when I was like, oh yeah, I would love to come and create with you, you know, you've been instrumental in, you know, in the dance scene. And I was very humbled and flattered that you would, I guess, give me this gift to be able to create. And it didn't really sink in until like 3 weeks ago when we started doing press. Like, I didn't really think how massive this fellowship was. I didn't really think about it too much. And then I started like getting messages from everyone, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is big. All right, now I'm stressed. You know, but like, you know, I'm incredibly humbled that, you know, that Sean kind of likes my point of view, likes how I view the world through my lens. Yeah, I don't know. It was just incredibly humbling. You know, this doesn't happen a lot. And to be given a gift as $300,000 to be able to create a work without the pressure of going for grants or the pressure of trying to hustle, like, that is going to be there. I'm going to have $100,000 each year to be able to keep developing my work. And then I can take a step back and think about the responses that I am making through that development. And so it's really nice to be able to have time and space to create the work that I'm creating. Sometimes you get 4 weeks, sometimes you get 5 weeks, and you've got to create a mammoth of a work. I don't know. I think in this country, there's not a lot of love and appreciation that goes into the arts in general. So to be able to have the time and space and also the creative freedom, you know, Sean has just let me do my thing, which is incredible, and has let me use his incredible artists. And we also have to thank, you know, the Denise and Michael Kellen Foundation for even gifting that to Sean and the relationships that he's built with them. Yeah, it's incredible.
How familiar were you with Sean Parker as a choreographer prior to this fellowship?
I've known of Sean for a long time, ever since I first started at NASDA, but I never had, I guess, the real luxury to see a lot of his works. And that's just because I was in a company life. I was never in Sydney. You know, I always was very familiar. And it's quite amazing how now I've built this relationship, you know, with the person. Yeah.
Mm. He was never one of your teachers or anything like
no,
that?
No, no. He started teaching, because I know he used to teach you.
Yeah.
But then he didn't teach me, but he taught after me, which is really
weird.
Oh, so
you missed that.
So I missed that time period of having time with Sean Parker, because, you know, I had Vicky and then I had Graham Watson there and other people as well. But yeah, I never got taught by him.
Often creatives are needing to produce a new work at least once a year in order to keep their names kind of in people's minds, in order to keep getting grants to make new work. And from the outside, the cycle looks exhausting. Mm. Tell me a little bit more about, like, when you have that kind of luxury of time and creative freedom, how does that influence your practice?
Well, okay, I've had to juggle with this because I thrive on working under pressure, because that's been my whole career. Mm. Getting, let's say with Sydney Dance, I had 2 weeks to create a 24-minute work. And you kind of built this armor that you kind of have to go off your instincts, and you just go with it and you trust it. And even the dancers in the company, oh, this is a development. You can take time. You don't have to just start creating like it's show ready. We have time. So, you know, but like it's such a luxury. But I've also had to juggle it
to pull
myself back a little bit, to give myself the freedom to say, yeah, I do have time in terms of like actually being in the development. They used to laugh at me. You've got time. And I'm like, I want to get it ready so that I can move on, so that it's show ready. This section is show ready, and then I don't have to revisit it because I trust it. But then between developments, it's so good to be able to be inspired by conversations that have happened in the room, and then I can go, okay, that's a topic of discussion. I need to research that before the next development. So I'm not the whole work in itself is a progression. Like I don't need to know the ending yet. I don't need to know the last 20 minutes of the work because I have 6 months now to kind of think about that. I do have a thought about it, but I can compartmentalize the work to an extent. But yeah, it's been a process. But I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to have time.
Mm. It's also funny to talk to you about it, like at the start of the 3 years, and I fully intend to follow through, like to follow you at different points. But at this stage, what's the genesis of the idea? Like, what are you developing?
What can I say?
What are you allowed to tell me?
Well, I can tell you anything and see if you probe me enough.
What do you want to tell me?
Well, that's the thing too. And this is another thing that I've had to juggle because I have to sit on this work for like a year and a half before we actually get to see it.
Yeah.
And I get nervous about sharing my ideas and my thoughts. The title of the work is called Stain. And Stain is about... This is what I will share. Stain is about 9 convicts that came over on the first fleet. And it's almost this looking at their trials, looking at their journey, and ultimately looking at just the first 3 days of settlement without the trauma. Just looking at them because we don't really get to hear from their perspective of what it was like to be displaced from their mother country. They didn't have a say. They didn't have a right. They were also in a state of survival, in a state of fight or flight. You know, they were just trying to survive. A lot of them just were sent over here for petty theft. So I really just wanted to look into these convicts from their perspective and not from the monarch, not from the Commonwealth, and not from the soldiers or the captains that are in the journals. You know, what was it like to be displaced by their mother and be disregarded before any of the trauma happened? So it's literally just the first 3 days.
You have been in The Visitors. You've also, you mentioned your show, Gabba.
There is a theme.
This point of first contact.
I'm always drawn to this part of the history of what... I guess New South Wales was built on, you know, that's what it was called at the time, and what is Australia now. But I'm always drawn to different stories of that time period, and I end up doing a work, and then I do a work, and then I'm inspired about something, but it's not the point of conversation in the work that I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, there's another work there from a different perspective. There's 3 stories that I have all from that time period, and I call them like, it's almost like a trilogy that I do want to tell because they're all from different perspectives of that time period. But yes, I am very drawn. I am like, I'm just fascinated because we don't get told this stuff, and it's important to share this information. Let's call them myths because they're not, you know, it's not factual, what we are told from the monarch or from Australia. Like there are all these stories out there, and yeah, I just get fascinated, and things that I get fascinated by, I just want to share that story.
I'm curious about how much control you get on the elements that aren't dance within this development. So the things like the score, the costuming, the other kind of artistic elements?
Well, it's quite collaborative. Like I do have a composer, Paul Mack, he's doing my music. So it's been quite a collaborative process, but I also give them the freedom. You know, I got Elisa Jalbert, who's doing my costume. She did my costumes for Gabba with Sydney Dance. You know, I want them to have just as much of a say as I do, because it's a team, it's collaborative. You know, you need all mediums to kind of work together to create this ceremony that it is that I'm trying to create. Ultimately, I do have final say because I'm the boss. But it's also their story as well. And I might say, I like this. And then they were like, oh, no, I don't like this. And so it's like the challenging each other to kind of constantly think about how we approach the conversation or the work in general. It's really, really fulfilling because to me that's the best part of the work is creating it, right? It's always been my favourite part is being in the rehearsal room for whether or not it's 2 weeks or 10 weeks, depending on the work, like putting the puzzle piece together, that's the cake, showing it and performing it. That's the icing and sharing it and the yeah. sprinkles and all that kind of stuff. But it's building it. It's stewing it. It's like, oh, it's yummy. It's my favorite part of doing a work.
This fellowship being the first of its kind, is there like a feeling of recognition that you're getting by knowing that it's like it's you?
See, because I'm just like, I hide away and I'm so introverted and I don't know yet. Like, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, I don't do socials, right? And so, like, when it got announced, I think I did like 5 years worth of socials in like the matter of 5 days. And I was like, this is exhausting. But the love that I was getting, like, I guess that's when it became real, when the fellowship and how massive this was. And, I spoke to Kim Walker and he chatted to me and he was like, this is massive. No one's ever gotten this. And I was like, well, wow, like black or white, this is an incredible opportunity. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I'm just humbled by the experience, but I don't try to make it at the forefront of my existence. I haven't let it define me or you know what I mean? If that makes sense, you know what I
mean?
It
really does. Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like, I mean,
I yeah. just, I'm still just the normal person walking down the street, like I'm not walking down the street going, oh, I got this fellowship. Look at me. Like it's just humbling and it's incredible. And the expectations, getting texts from friends and going, you're getting this money now, no pressure, you have to create a good work. And I'm like, don't say that to me.
Well, let's talk about Vicky Van Hoot for a moment because she's come up a bit. What has been her influence on you as a choreographer?
I mean, I think she's definitely been instrumental. She was my only kind of real contemporary teacher that I had for the 3 years that I was at NASDA. So definitely my movement is definitely inspired by, I guess, what she's created. And she's also the dramaturg for my work. Oh my gosh, that's been fun. The questions. I'm going to catch up with her in the next 2 days. Oh my gosh, she's going to grill me. But that's her job. Her job is to do that as the dramaturg. But yeah, I've always had a little bit of even how I create now, even to what I brought to the company that I was in, Bangara, like I always brought a bit of her with me. And it's like with any teachers, you grab and you put it in your toolbox. But she's definitely been one of the instrumental kind of artists that have, her and Stephen Page are both quite instrumental in how I kind of see a work or create a work. There's always, you kind of just watch how these people create, these masters of their craft.
Was there a sort of solid transition moment for you from going, in which you went from dancer to choreographer? Like, what was that moment for you?
I spent 10 years with the company and I was lucky enough I got to create in my fourth year being in the company. And my whole goal was to be a choreographer. I always thought I was a better storyteller in that regard as a choreographer than I was as a dancer. I never thought I was a good dancer. I just showed face. I was quite emotive. I always thought I was a creator, because I loved the process of it. And I'm actually quite fortunate that I never really got to create a lot of works while I was there because my craft got to stew and stew and stew and stew and stew for 10 years. But it was a bit of a hard process because you go from company life and then you're all of a sudden in the world by yourself. Not a lot of people know that about you, that you're a choreographer. And so I had to start from the beginning and mixing it with the independent dance scene. And so it was a bit of a process. It was hard. It took a couple of years, doing things here and there. And I only feel now I'm just starting to kind of people maybe see me as the choreographer and not the dancer or see me as just the artist and not the artist that was.
Mm.
that's a big, big part of my life, but just now me.
Because you have been on the stage, like, as an actor as well, like, there's a really kind of interesting space that you're occupying in having become known as a dancer in a company and then an actor in, like, the Sunshine Club, Visitors. There's something quite interesting about the way that you are working as an artist, kind of on and off stage, and the kind of marrying of theatrical and dance. Because I see Sean Parker and Company as quite a theatrical dance company as well. Like, I feel like they're...
Yes, I would agree. And I think that's what also probably another reason why Sean picked me is because he, you know, he said he saw similarities. And, you know, so that would be a really good, I guess, marriage for myself and the company, you know, to be the kind of the first kind of outside person to create on his company. You know, it's incredible. But I do tend to, you know, bleed, and I want to blend those art forms together, you know. So there is a lot of text in my work, and, you know, a lot of AV, a lot of visuals, and really trying to make sure each art form, you know, whether it's lighting or whether it's song or the visuals, the paint up, you know, the costume, you know, it is like a ceremony. Everything has to have the same weight and have the same responsibility. And also caretaking for that has to be equal for me in any work. That should be number one. Not one is better than the other.
That was dancer, choreographer and actor Bodine Riley Smith. He's the inaugural recipient of the Sean Parker & Company Fellowship. It's a rare opportunity where he'll receive $300,000 to choreograph a major new work over the next 3 years. So you'll definitely hear from Bo again as the work progresses. I'm Rudy Bremer, here with you on Away for Radio National.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.